Yes, this is Utah Phillips, the golden voice of the great Southwest, and you're listening to Loafer's Glory, the hobo jungle of the mind. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the multinational corporations and to the profit for which they stand, one interlocking directorate under no government, indivisible, with monopoly and cheap labor for all. Well, this is Utah Phillips and our sterling engineer, Steve Baker, here high atop the magnificent new studios at the 72nd floor of the beautiful new KVMR Towers in downtown metropolitan Nevada City. And this is the Hobo Jungle of the Mind. We're plunging ever more deeply into the holiday season, many, many different holidays and many different festivals. I want to share some of the music and some ideas about that. You know, the early part of my life was spent in Cleveland, Ohio. Only difference between Cleveland and hell is that we had a better orchestra. Cleveland, Ohio, it was in the late Depression. My brother and I were adopted by my stepfather, Sid Cohen, whose father had been a Jewish-Russian immigrant from Poland, Simon Bialobjetski. My father moved us and my mother into his old neighborhood, an old Jewish ghetto in Cleveland, Ohio, and that's where I did a good part of my growing up. It was a lively neighborhood. During the Second World War, things were still pulled by horses, the rag man, the vegetable truck, the milk truck, the coal truck, because everything had been pulled by horses there anyway. Well, and it was a boisterous neighborhood, loud. Most people had radios and had put their hand crank Victrolas out on the porch. And during the summer, you could hear those klezmer records that were imported from Poland echoing up and down the street. Our neighbor was Mickey Katz. And Mickey Katz, the Hep Cats, Mickey Katz and the Kosher Orchestra, he had a deep klezmer background. When Hanukkah came, of course, it was a time for celebration, time for festival, a time for children. And we would like to gather around the record player and listen to Mickey Katz records. Now, Mickey at that time was doing orchestrations for the great Spike Jones. He had a son, Joel Katz. He used to run together in our gang, changed his name to Joel Gray and became a hoofer. Well, I want to go back and listen to one of those very old recordings of Mickey Katz and his Kosher Orchestra. Let's listen to Tzatziki Kozatsky.
Everything is hatsky, tatsky, lomel, tanzen, na kazatki, kozak, shpozak, panie, mob, yisle, zuzi, hatsadio.
Thank you. zwei Tagen nach dem Wasser, bloß das Winkel lacht, der Gläser, der Wein und Bär, Friede, Klein und Spieler, hoi, that's me!
Well, that was Mickey Katz, Zazatsky Kozatsky. Music of my childhood. As I say, we moved west in 1947, and that was a whole different kind of music. But I don't want to leave this one alone for right now. At every Jewish festival, every Jewish holiday, there was always a prayer for peace. You know, the older people, the immigrant people in my old neighborhood, talked about what it was like before the war, years ago, when there were great synagogues with full choruses and full orchestras, and the great cantors that went on to become fine opera singers. I have a very treasured record. I've loved this record for years and years because it recreates for me what that must have sounded like. Richard Tucker was a cantor in a New York City synagogue. But then he went on to become a star of the Metropolitan Opera. But he records here with the great Secunda, the conductor, doing a record called Cantorial Gems. Let's listen to Richard Tucker sing Sim Shalom.
Oh,
Very, very moving music, very moving to me. At this point, I was going to try to make a bridge between these holidays, the Jewish holiday, Hanukkah, and Christmas. I remember walking down the streets of Berkeley up there toward Telegraph, and I saw a sign in a small storefront that said Jews for Jesus. And I know I've seen them soliciting hereabouts, but I went in to ask if they sang any hymns, of course, wondering what kind of hymns would the Jews for Jesus sing. Well, there was only one that they had, and unfortunately it was never been recorded. It was the Ave Maria. Well, we'll have to pass that one up. It is Christmas. All of my tramp friends are lined up at the Salvation Army thrift stores looking for their Tickle Me Hobo dolls. Dashing down the aisles with an empty pocketbook. I ain't got no dough, I'll just have to look. Bells on registers ring, making me uptight. Guess I'll have to go and rob a liquor store tonight. Hey, stick 'em up, stick 'em up. Christmas should be free. I can't beat the system, but the system can't beat me. Yeah. Christmas is a wonderful holiday, although walking around town it sometimes tends to get me down. Well, let's dig into a little bit of what it's supposed to be about. Rosalie Sorrell's my old friend up there in Grimes Creek, Idaho. Well, if you're living in Utah, she collected songs all over Utah and then sang them, actually gave them back to the people that she got them from. There's a song that she collected from a woman in Tremonton, Utah. But prior to hearing this song called A Winter Song, let me give you a poem from A.H. Auden called At the Manger, Mary Sings. Oh, shut your bright eyes that mine must endanger with their watchfulness. Protected by its shade, escape from my care. What can you discover from my tender look but how to be afraid? Love can confirm the more it would deny. Close your bright eye. Sleep. What have you learned from the womb that bore you, but an anxiety your father cannot feel? Sleep. What will the flesh that I gave you do for you, or my mother love, but tempt you from his will? Why was I chosen to teach his son to weep? Little one, sleep. Dream. In human dreams, earth ascends to heaven, where no one need pray nor ever feel alone. In your first few hours of life here, have you chosen already what death must be your own? How soon will you start on the sorrowful way? Dream while you may.
The winter has come with its cold, chilly blast, and the leaves are all falling from trees. All nature seems touched by the chillness around. death. For all things are beginning to freeze. When poor Robin Redbreast clings close to her cot and the icicles hang round your door, and you sit by your fire reviving and hot, well, that's the time to remember the poor.
Rosalie Sorrells up in Grimes Creek up toward Idaho City. I spent Christmas Day in jail up in Haley, Idaho once many years ago. I had gone up there with Rosalie to sing at her grandfather's old church, Reverend Stringfellow's church, which had become a kind of an espresso joint. Picked up a young fellow hitchhiking, got him into town. We went to Pago Pete's, where I bought him a beer. Well, I didn't know he was underage. The sheriff, Les Jenko, I remember him. He looked like John Russell in The Lawman, with a flat-brim cowboy hat and a pencil-lined mustache, a square jaw, and a little derringer tucked into the front of his pants that he used to use to fire tear gas pellets into the bars after closing time so he wouldn't have to go in and clean them out. Well, that was the Old West, my friends, the middle of the 1960s. Well, there we were drinking our beer, and Les Jenko came in with a piece of wax paper and rubber band, put the wax paper on that young fellow's glass, put the rubber band around it for evidence, marched me kitty quarter across the street to the Conoco gas station, where we stood on the grease racks and waited for the cab to show up because the cab driver was the judge. Well, they found me guilty, and within 45 minutes, I was in the downstairs jail in Haley, Idaho. Merry Christmas. Justice is swift in the West. Indeed, indeed. Well, Rosalie was the one who introduced me to the Basques up there in Ketchum, Idaho. The Basques who immigrated to become shepherds, mainly because of oppression and starvation in the Basque country, the Basque homeland, Euskadi, in northern Spain. And then, of course, after the Spanish Civil War, many of them came over as refugees, worked the ranches, worked the sheep ranches. Rosalie used to go out and collect Basque songs with Father Chevaria. There was an old fella out there and living in a Basque camp by the name of Peter Heilig. One time she and Father Chevaria went out there. A Mormon missionary had attached himself to their party. And, of course, to many across Peter Heilig's threshold, the first thing he would say is, whiskey, wine, or beer? Well, the young LDS missionary declined them all, and Peter Heilig said, either do you eat hay? He said, no, I don't eat hay. And he said, well, then you're not fit company for man nor beast. Right now, here's a Christmas carol, a Basque Christmas carol, with a Basque chorus recorded in the Basque Hall up in Boise, Idaho, by Rosalie Sorrells. Harak Kazazoy.
Shara, conservatism, I live.
that's a wonderful, joyful sound, isn't it? There's a little kind of one-room house up the hill from where I live in the Cedar Grove here in Nevada City. When I go in there, that's where I keep my books. When I go in there to read or study things I'm interested in, there's a coat hook, the brass coat hook where I always hang my coat up. That coat hook was sent to me by Charlie McGuire from Calumet, Michigan, because he knew that I would want it. He knew I would treasure it. He had been there at the demolition of the old Italian hall in Calumet. It had been, people wanted to save it, but it was just too fragile, so he sent me that coat hook as a keepsake. It was in that Italian hall in 1913 that the miners were having a big Christmas ball, a Christmas pageant with all of their kids. Well, there was a strike going on. You know, at the time, the copper miners leased their claims. It was kind of like sharecropping. They leased them from the owners. And the money they made out of that was pitiful. So they were really trying to have as good a Christmas as they could. Well, one of the ways you break a strike is by bringing in gunmen, by bringing in thugs who are going to stir people up, are going to try to get some violence going, you know, because if you can get the miners behaving violently, if you get them to fight back, well, you can go to the judge and get an injunction and break the strike. Well, they brought in the Wendell Mahone gunmen, and they did everything they possibly could to get these miners to fight. But it was during that Christmas celebration, Christmas Eve, in Calumet 1913, that one of them stuck his head in the door of the hall and yelled, "Fire, there's a fire." This story was heard by Woody Guthrie. He sat down and made up a song about that. You'll hear it sung this time by his old traveling partner, his old roommate, Ramblin' Jack Elliott, the 1913 massacre.
Take a trip with me in 1913. Italian Hall, and the miners are having their big Christmas ball. I'll take you in a door and up a high stairs. Singing and dancing is heard everywhere. I'll let you shake hands with the people you see and watch the kids dance around the big Christmas tree. There's talking and laughing and songs in the air, and the spirit of Christmas is there everywhere. Before you know it, you're friends with us all, and you're dancing around and around in the hall. You ask about work and you ask about pay. They'll tell you they make less than a dollar a day. Working their copper claims, risking their lives. So it's fun to spend Christmas with children and wives. A little girl sits down by the Christmas tree lights to play the piano. She gotta keep quiet to hear all this fun you would not realize. That the copper boss thug men are milling out inside. The copper boss thugs stuck their heads in the door. One of them yelled and he screamed, "There's a fire." A lady, she hollered, "There's no such a thing. Keep on with your party, there's no such a thing." A few people rusting is only a few. It's just the thugs and the scabs fooling you. A man grabbed his daughter and he carried her down. But the thugs held the door and he could not get out. And then others followed the 100 or more. But most everybody remained on the floor. The gun thugs, they laughed at their murderous joke. And the children were smothered on the stairs by the door. Such a terrible sight I never did see. We carried our children back up to their tree. The scabs outside still laughed at their spree. And the children died there was 73. The piano played a slow funeral tune, and the town was lit up by a cold Christmas moon. The parents they cried and the miners they moaned. See what your greed for money has done.
Well, here we are back with you for the second half of Loafer's Glory, the Hobo Jungle of the Mind. You were just listening to the 1913 Massacre by Ramblin' Jack Elliott. One of labor's struggles, just only one of labor's struggles, some won, some lost. That's a particularly tragic song. But I would like to uplift you and show you that there is hope, yes. At Christmas, we very often yearn for our heart's desire to be found under our Christmas tree or to find its way into our lives. One of the most prodigious great gifts I ever heard of coming at Christmas was during a newspaper guild strike. And the newspaper guild was just starting. Newspaper guild strike in New York City. It was on Christmas Day in 1935 that the guild strikers woke up, found this present under their tree. From the New York Times report, Christmas Day, 1935. The New York Times reports the conclusion of an 11-week strike. The Newspaper Guild of New York won demands for its workers of a 10% pay raise, the establishment of a guild shop, a 40-hour week, annual vacations of 2 weeks, dismissal notice of 3 months, establishment of an adjustment committee, assurance against discrimination and strikebreakers, and the discharge of all strikebreakers. How about waking up on Christmas morning to something like that? Now, a very strong supporter of the Newspaper Guild and a longtime member was Vern Partlow, a journalist in Los Angeles who, during the McCarthy times, Joe McCarthy, the Red Purges, was blacklisted down there in Los Angeles. But he penned many a good song. He's the one who wrote the Talking Atomic Blues. Right now, let's listen to Vern Partlow's song, sung by a very young Pete Seeger. I think this was recorded in 1948. Newspaper men meet such interesting people.
Oh, newspaper men meet such interesting people. They know the lowdown, now it can be told. I'll tell you quite reliably off the record about some charming people I have known. For I meet the politicians and grafters by the score, killers plain and fancy, it's really quite a bore. Oh, newspaper men meet such interesting people. They wallow in corruption, crime, and gore. Ting-a-ling-a-ling, city desk, hold the press, extra, extra, read all about it, it's a mess, meets the test. Oh, newspaper men meet such interesting people. It's wonderful to represent the press. Now you remember Mrs. Sadie Smuggery. She wanted money to buy a new fur coat. To get insurance, she employed skullduggery. She up and cut her husband's only throat. She chopped him into fragments, she stuffed him in a trunk. She shipped it all back yonder to her uncle in Podunk. Now newspaper men meet such interesting people. It must have startled poor old Sadie's unk. Ting-a-ling-a-ling, city desk, hold the press, extra, extra, read all about it, it's a mess, meets the test. Oh, newspaper men meet such interesting people. It's wonderful to represent the press. Now, publishers are such interesting people. Their policy's an acrobatic thing. They claim to represent the common people. It's funny, Wall Street never has complained. Ah, but publishers have worries, for publishers must go to working folks for readers and big shots for their dough. Now, publishers are such interesting people. It could be prostitution, I don't know. Ting-a-ling-a-ling, circulation, ting-a-ling-a-ling, advertising, get those readers, get that payoff. What a headache, what a mess. Oh, publishers are such interesting people. Let's give three cheers for freedom of the press. Now, newspaper men are such interesting people. They used to slave away just for romance. But finally, the movies notwithstanding, they all got tired of patches on their pants. They got tired of cavorting as if they were in front page. They joined progressive actors upon a living stage. Now newspaper men meet such interesting people, 'cause they know they've got a people's fight to wage. Ting-a-ling-a-ling, newspaper guild, we got a free new world to build. Meet the people, that's a thrill, all together fits the bill. Oh, newspaper men meet such interesting people. It's wonderful to represent the guild.
Oh, well, now, that sure makes my Christmas. How about you? There are many wonderful Christmas customs, and probably one of the foremost among them is wassailing. A wassail is a toast to the company, a toast to the host. And the habit at Christmas to go from door to door wassailing, and of course everybody's home was expected to have the libation that was going to pique your interest the most. There are many old wassailing songs. I tried to find some of the old ones from Louis Killen or from John Roberts and Tony Brand, old friends who not only sing those songs, but by God, they do it. The only wassailing song I was able to come up with was done by a wonderful and ingenious organization in Providence, Rhode Island. Now, this is something that ought to be happening in my town and ought to be happening in your town. That is that the folk singers come together, the song makers and the folk singers, and they form a support group. And then together they issue a collective recordings. It's kind of like the record magazine that comes out of New York City, and there's one out of Boston. Well, it's something they gave me back in Pennsylvania not too long ago. It's a brand new wassail song. Sung by the Providence Folk Support Group called Jesus Don't Collect No Taxes.
Jesus don't alive, he know the meaning of laws. Ball man now, all the time he tried, he never got to be a boss. But you can't take your money to the backside of heaven. Jesus doesn't collect no tax, Jesus doesn't collect no tax, why sell? He then began to see I've only got the chance of a snowball in hell now. Even in the land of the free, God, you can't take your money to the backside of heaven. And Jesus doesn't collect no tax, Jesus doesn't collect no tax, why sell? Don't worry about being poor no more. Poor man found out money don't mean nothing. Once you pass through the golden door, cause you can't take your money to the backside of heaven. And Jesus doesn't collect no tax, Jesus doesn't collect no tax, why sell? No tag, Jesus doesn't click no tag. Jesus doesn't click no tag.
Well, there's a wassail song for you. I love that. Let the people keep adding new songs on top of our tradition as old songs fade and get forgotten. And you know, that's something I talked to our singer-songwriters. I was at a conference of them, mainly singer-songwriters, people involved in the Folk Alliance in the northeast part of the country. And I love the idea of people using song making as a form of self-expression. I don't care what they sing about themselves or whatever. I just like that idea. But I pointed out to them that our tradition is going to perish unless it's paid attention to, that the great tune models and verse models of our elders, of our traditional music, that Tom Paxton and Bob Dylan were exposed to during the early folk music festivals from people like Almeida Riddle and Roscoe Holcomb, that then out of that they created songs that are still being sung. And so I said to the young singer-songwriters, you want your songs to be sung, or are you just going to keep on writing songs that are signature songs? Songs that you're the only one singing them. So I said, reach back, tap that tradition, experiment with those verse and tune models, and also in your programs, try to include a couple of traditional songs that people can sing with. I think it'll make a whole lot healthier folk music environment. Well, let's move on to another holiday here. Kwanzaa. Kwanzaa has been celebrated for many, many years now here in the United States. It comes from an old African harvest festival, and it's celebrated December 16th to January 1st. And the intention there is for adults and children, it's a children's holiday too, is to learn the practice, the Ngozo Saba, the seven principles of blackness. And for every day of Kwanzaa, there are seven candles. You catch the theme, the Advent candles at Christmas, you see, the menorah during Hanukkah, the lighting of the Yule log at the time of the winter solstice. It all involves fire. It all involves rekindling the light of the sun, rekindling the light of the soul. Those seven principles. Now, I'm going to stumble over these African names, but these are what African-American kids all over the country are learning, and I want to learn them too. One, Umoja, unity in your family and community. Koji Chagolila, self-determination, think for yourself. Number three, Ujiman, collective work and responsibility. Number four, Ujama, cooperative economics. Cooperative economics. Number five, Nia, purpose, community, development, personal development. Number six, Kuumba, creativity, making homes and streets and playgrounds and parks more beautiful. And number seven, Imani, faith. Believe with all your heart in yourself. the 7 days of Kwanzaa. Kwanzaa, what would that mean to white people? What would that mean to us gringo Norte Americanos? How do these principles work in our life? Well, that's the question we ask ourselves at Kwanzaa. How do these principles work in our lives? Kwanzaa for white people is an opportunity to sit down with family, with relatives, and friends, and to discuss issues of race, to talk openly about your race relations, your real thoughts and actions over the last year, and how you can change. What racial stereotypes do we continue to use? Bring the unconscious into the conscious and talk about it. And always remember that racism, like sexism or bossism, is defined by those who experience the problem and not by those who create it. Let's listen to Misa Luba, a singing group from the Congo, singing a traditional Congolese harvest song called Ebu Bwale Kemai. Ubuwale Kemai, Misa Luba from the Congo, played in celebration of Kwanzaa, December 26th to January the 1st. Seasons, how the seasons change and how the seasons turn, you know, our biorhythms are tuned to slow down during the winter. At one time we probably hibernated some. Isn't it peculiar that at the time of year when your biorhythms are the lowest that we are prevailed upon to dash about like maniacs? No wonder Christmas becomes so frenetic. No wonder it's very often hard on us. So we get those Christmas blues. I'm avoiding that this year. I'm avoiding that as hard as I can. Having fun with people. Now look, here's something I want to suggest to you. Rosalie Sorrell's used to have Cracker Jack Christmas parties. I mean, they were wonderful Christmas parties there in Salt Lake City. She would go to all the junk stores, all the secondhand stores, and buy up beads, gewgaws, gym cracks, old costume jewelry, any kind of litter that you could imagine, tinfoil, whatever, cover a whole table with it. We'd go over to her house where there was a big punch bowl, and we'd make Christmas tree ornaments together for her tree and for our own trees. And make it, don't buy it, see? And I, you know that there is an international boycott against Chinese goods, and you know exactly why, and you probably understand why it's being pretty well ignored. Well, this is a good opportunity to help out there. Get one of, use Rosalie's idea. Get together with all the junk you can find and make your own. Make your own Christmas ornaments. And up there in northern Vermont, the four northern counties are called the Northeast Kingdom. And I lived up there for a while in a railroad caboose in the shadow of Mount Philo. And in the dead of winter, the cows were freezing out there in the pastures. Old Billy Schubart, exemplary of northern Vermont humor in the winter, would look out the window and say, "Oh, they're hanging in the barns today." I said, "What's that?" He said, "Oh, they're hanging in the barns. Why, down at the hardware store around here, they have suicide kits for farmers in the winter. It's mainly a rope and a barn beam and a nail keg to jump off of." He thought that was the funniest thing anybody ever said. Well, let's listen to the Hutchinson Family Singers. This family of singers going back to the 1830s. And back in those days, they sang abolitionist songs. They sang some of the first labor songs in the country. And that family has kept going generation after generation. You're going to listen to this generation of the Hutchinson Family Singers doing Seasons.
Oh, sweet the spring with its merry ring, when the robins chirp and the bluebirds sing. Their voices clear, they glad be here, and their welcome songs to the opening year. Then ho, farmers, ho, to the fields now a beauty adorning. With hearts all right and spirits light, we will sing with the birds in the morning. Hey, ho, the farmers go over the fields to plow and sow. Hey, ho, the farmers go over the fields to plow and sow.
Footsteps strew all nature gay at the break of day, when the dew perfumes the new mown hay.
And ho, farmers, ho,
your care and your labor bestowing, with sickle and scythe as the farmer thrive, then high to reaping and mowing.
Hey ho, the farmers go over the fields to reap and mow. Hey ho, the farmers go over the fields to reap and mow.
The sad heart grieves as nature weaves her winding sheet in the autumn leaves. Yet most sublime is the tempest chime, which reminds us all of the harvest time.
And ho, farmers, ho!
And gather the fruits of your sowing, for the waving corn your fields adorn in token of labor bestowing.
Hey ho, the farmers go, gathering the fruits they chose to sow. Hey ho, the farmers go, gathering the fruits they chose to sow.
When winter drear comes gathering near, the songster birds no more we hear. Dear those spells when the music swells of the winter storms and the merry bells.
Then ho, farmers, ho!
To the wild woods let's be going, or ice and snow we'll onward go, and despite of the hurricanes blowing.
Hey ho, the woodsmen go, breaking the roads through drifted snow. Hey ho, the woodsmen go, breaking the roads through drifted snow. Oh, happy he, the farmer free, in his mountain home of liberty, where heaven gave to the true and brave the hills where ne'er could breathe a slave. Then ho, farmers, ho, for yours is the best vocation. God's first command was to till the land in the morning of creation. Hey ho, the farmers go, chanting their songs of freedom, ho. Hey ho, the farmers go, chanting their songs of freedom, ho.
A rollicking good song about the turning of the seasons. You know, we've played some music from Hanukkah, some Christmas music, and music in celebration of Kwanzaa. But like you heard earlier, you're getting four for the price of one. And what would the fourth one be? Well, we call that pagan sun return. The winter solstice, when the sun, the Father, is going to begin to rise in the sky, and things will hopefully start to get a little bit warmer. At least the days will get a little bit longer. Pagan, from an old Latin word meaning peg, when the farmers moved in the ancient times and squared off the fields, cleared and squared them off by driving pegs to mark the property line, the people they drove out. The hunters and the gatherers lived beyond the peg. They were pagans. Of course, as a Unitarian, I have enjoyed living beyond the peg almost all of my adult life. Pagans, I haven't got a lot of time, but I should tell you that it's pretty much people who say, the earth is my mother, the sun is my father. When my mother and father embrace, out of their union comes everything I eat, everything I wear, everything I live in. And then we kind of let it go at that. All right. We're going to do a... Oh, I forgot to mention the Yule log. The Yule log comes from the oak. The oak was always struck by lightning more than any other tree. It's very dense. But that's how we got the gift of fire. The mother sent up the oak. The father sent down the lightning. Kindled the fire in the heart of the oak, which we then took back to our own hearths. The lighting of the Yule log is made out of oak, and it's rekindling the light of the sun. As Yule, from the old Gothic, voil, wheel, the festival of the sun, the Jubal was the sun, Jubilee, where we get that word, the feast of the wheel, where we get the word festival. Let's go back to the old language and to the old time and listen to a song, a very ancient song, that the Irish with their carogs, their leather-covered boats, would sing while they were rowing, a charm song, which was proof against hail. Here's Sheila na Gig.
Soldam shamata sin in revre tahtam taikin, ore ars nyartwar, grey shinil drachte, either jis chalapag and ring a horic horve calpri, unan mak le lochre irin rochta. Unan kafein ye bjarn ye halben nuera. Nier avra her aina irin makrunan. Svin var vahrin ir gal nimun verga. Irin svin hoch vahvan tist rahar. Huk pindin higa hard kudarchen ye. Kwa krunan grahul mar erkne jahar. Nier vuichi klak gal fwin gud hor nahar. Dan jarnen ferg nibbele, der han ik ienae, der han ik ienae.
Well, now we're going to close off with a little bit older Pete Seeger singing his version of Old Time Religion.
Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. We will pray with Aphrodite. We will pray with Aphrodite. She wears that see-through nighty, and it's good enough for me. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. We will pray with Zarathustra. We'll pray just like we used to. I'm a Zarathustra booster, and it's good enough for me. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me. We will pray with those Egyptians. Build pyramids to put our crypts in. Cover subways with inscriptions, and it's good enough for me. Give me that old time religion. We will pray with those old druids. They drink fermented fluids, waltzing naked through the woods, and it's good enough for me. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me. We'll do dances to bring water, sacrifice animals for slaughter, sacrifice our sons and daughters, and that's good enough for me. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me.
I'll arrive.
rise at early morning when my Lord gives me the warning that the solar age is dawning, and that's good enough for me.
Well, that's it for this edition of Loafer's Glory, the Hobo Jungle of the Mind, here from the studios of KVMR, my hometown, Nevada City, California. And I'd really like to thank Steve Baker for turning the knobs and pushing the slides, because I don't know anything about machines. And we'll see you the next time. Again, as in an age gone by, the plow will with the wreath be crowned, and the wise will twine the garland, and the stars will last, and those who have loved them fondly will never be fearful of the night.